Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke, and you can join us today. Get ready for Nebraska, Iowa, and Nebraska, Texas Tech. How about the double dip you got going this week? NFL Monday Night Madness. It's all good. Great to be with you on Tuesday. You can join us 466-3776. 466-3776-800-825-5865. No Hail Varsity on Thursday. No Hail Varsity on Friday. We will be back for the weekend edition on Saturday. So today, tomorrow, get your insults or questions on Nebraska, Iowa. Okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to ask the question. I respect Iowa football. They have beaten Nebraska into submission the last 3 years. They're not ultra sexy, but they find a way. Do you respect Iowa football? And if you hate them, all good. If you begrudgingly kind of dig them, you got a judgment-free zone here. I learned a long time ago not to throw rocks at a glass house. You know what? I think Nebraska is poised for a good football game on Friday. Do they win? I have no idea. I can talk myself. Usually by today, I've gone through the checklist as to why they win, and I'm having my doubts. I don't know that we'll get a forecast in. We'll have to do it today.
Yeah, that's right. It's gonna
because you're leaving for turkey stuffing, blackout Wednesday,
Skanksgiving apparently.
Yes, you're heading home to the land of Ferris Bueller films, and your high school is probably the high school and the Breakfast Club, and I mean. You're going back home to the Windy City.
Now, I was going to say, though, Tuesday, I think, is when you start considering it. But then it's like Thursday, you've pretty much convinced yourself. And then Friday, you just sell yourself on Nebraska. That's usually the pattern.
That is. And again, you have one coach that hates the short week, Coach Chenander. Another coach, Coach Walters, both spoke today. He's all good with it. The offense knows what's going on. And you had an interesting observation, the Pride of Chicago Casino Danny Burke. The line has jumped up in favor of Iowa from 7.5 to now 9.5 or in some spots 10. That is because J.D. Spielman is still day to day. He was asked about it. You'll hear J.D. wasn't, but Coach Walters was asked about his status. If he's not available, that's big. Here's the biggest problem with Friday for Nebraska. Nebraska football has won in the cold against Illinois, and they had to outscore that team. They won in the cold, the wind and the snow against a very, very hampered offense. I hate even like kind of putting a little asterisk next to the Michigan State win, because I thought it was an awesome, awesome, impressive win for Nebraska. I spent 15 minutes talking about that yesterday. Just kind of the meaning behind what they did Saturday, how they got it done, the style they were able to play to win. You have Friday that's going to be 45 and rain right now. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just cloudy. Maybe it stops raining. I don't know, but if you have bad weather, okay, Nebraska showed they could stand up to a bully at home in bad weather. The offense did enough to get some points with a little help from the defense. Well, a lot of help from the defense, okay? And I just don't know, as we talk on Tuesday, that Nebraska's defense, as well as they're playing, as good as they're feeling, Iowa's offense is a whole different thing than Michigan State. That is fact. And you have as good or better of a defense waiting for you in Iowa City against a Nebraska offense that absolutely got shut down. Now, I don't know where you split the old pie at, if it's old man Winter or Michigan State defense, as to the reasons. But together, they absolutely neutralized the Nebraska offense. Some things I'm looking forward to on Friday. Adrian Martinez was good. Adrian Martinez was able to manage that game, especially the second half. Adrian Martinez was able to learn from it, and he's not down, clearly. I mean, he's a confident kid, and it's just one of those games where if you ask a kid to throw 37 times in those conditions, you're going to hope to get 15 or 16 completions. It's not his stellar, usual 70% completion percentage. He's had good games against big opponents. He has. I'm not worried about him in a big game. But there are things out of his control, like how wet the football is, how much wind he's throwing into, and if he doesn't have J.D. Spielman to pair along with Stanley Morgan.
And he's probably never played in those conditions before growing up on the West Coast, so learning curve for him.
You have to wonder. But he handled it well enough. He got the win. He managed the offense to get the win. And let's go with cut 11 here. Walters asked about, all right, what do you take away from Adrian's performance and being able to win a game like you won Saturday and then taking that with you this Friday potentially for some inclement weather?
Yeah, it was awesome. And in fact, for us to win a championship here, you're going to have to play in those conditions. You're going to have to play in the cold. You're going to have to play in the wind, rain to win a championship. And so I thought he handled it well. I thought our guys on offense handled it well. Was it our best performance? No. But the guys, you know, they battled. They never gave up. And when the opportunity came, they made plays. And so we told them that in order to win a championship, you're going to have to play on the road in hostile environments and bad weather conditions. And you got to find a way to win, and that's what we did. And hats off to the defense. You know, they stepped up and worked their butts off during the week and really showed everyone what they're capable of doing. And so that was a huge performance on defense, and we're grateful that they had that type of performance.
Coach Walters, Coach Frost, this whole team, they get it. They know it. It's true. You're going to have to win in bad weather. The question is, can you win 2 weeks in a row in bad weather? And can you win 2 weeks in a row in bad weather with this defense against a much better offense? I am frightened to death if I'm a Nebraska fan with the tight ends that Iowa has. I am frightened to death that the defense cannot stand up for four quarters. I know they just did. But again, you're facing it's an apples and an oranges discussion here offensively. I know Iowa's not Nebraska's offense, but Iowa is great at the screen game to their running backs. Iowa's great at finding their running backs on your linebackers. Nebraska's going to pin their ears back. They're going to be aggressive. And Iowa's right now got a whiteboard and the marker. Maybe they're sniffing the marker, but they're drawing up screenplays on 3rd and 8. Maybe you don't get punched in the junk this time on the old quarterback draw for 2 consecutive weeks, but they're going to hose you on a screenplay. It's just what Iowa does. That's a reason I can say I begrudgingly respect Iowa. They've won big games against big opponents in the East. Now, the thing that makes you stop and say, well, Iowa's not great, because they have underachieved this year.
Stanley's been very inconsistent. He'll go one way or the other. If, like you said, they've underachieved. If he came through in some of those games, they should be in a lot better position.
But how hasn't he? He's beaten Ohio State already. He killed Ohio State. I don't get how. I mean, I can tell you. I know why they're 7-4 and 4-4 in conference. And they had a screw up against Wisconsin. Fine. That was embarrassing. That was three. Wisconsin couldn't do anything against Iowa except recover the ball. But the way Iowa's finished, I mean, if the weather cooperates and Purdue can put up 38, Nebraska's offense can do that as well, I would think. Mm-hmm. But the Northwestern game, that's a game you win if you're Iowa. The Penn State game, there's no reason you lose that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Stanley could just have some of those games, like where it's just all the defense for Iowa why they're in that game.
I right.
But that is on the road, too, so that's also a big
It's on the road. The weather
factor.
Could be bad. Nebraska is a big boy football team. Between their ears, they're going to be ready, and they'll handle it. I'm not worried about what's gone on. And that's really the crux of this thing here, too. You have Nebraska and Iowa. Nebraska's wins have been tight or overtime. Iowa's wins have been blowouts except for 2015. And the thing about Iowa that I think Coach Frost really, really, really respects about them is how they go do their business. And you talk to some former Iowa coaches. Listen, they want a kid in their region, like Espinoza, defensive end. He's a kid, I think, from Illinois, if memory serves. Point is he's within their reach, okay? The Wadley running backs, a Chicago kid, all right? They evaluate and project and develop, and they send dudes to the NFL on the offensive and defensive line and a tight end. They are just very, very good at that. They're incredible at that. They've been tremendous at that. And that's kind of where I have some respect for them. Because they're not getting four stars on paper. They're not getting top 20 recruiting classes. They're 35th, 40th, whatever the hell. And they go build football players that can beat Ohio State and Michigan and Wisconsin. That's where Nebraska's at. What's at stake Friday is, yes, momentum. Yes, a 5-1 finish. Yes, finally getting a win over Iowa after getting just plowed by them for the last 3 years, or two of the last 3 years. The other year you threw four interceptions. But you've already taken down a name from the East. This is your last crack at getting somebody from the West. You didn't get it done against Northwestern. You didn't get it done against Wisconsin. Get Iowa. Finish this thing out, and it's going to be a dogfight. Fan poll question, HailVarsity.com. Iowa, a 7.5-point favorite. That's now up to 10. What's your prediction? Log on, HailVarsity.com. Iowa wins and covers. Iowa wins, but Nebraska covers, or Nebraska wins. I love these fan poll questions. We'll get into some Nebraska basketball. Let's get you the guest list today. Mitch Sherman is going to join us in 7 minutes. We'll talk Nebraska and Iowa with him. We'll get his take on some of the college football stuff that's going on. About 10 after 5, Nebraska basketball, former Nebraska basketball standout Andy Markowski going to be with us as he'll preview Nebraska-Texas Tech. Nebraska was a bit frustrating last night. If you watch Nebraska basketball, they are a team that, against better teams, and Missouri State is not one. Nebraska, are they going to jack around, pun intended, from three-point land? Are they trying to go Costanza here? It's not a lie if you believe it. Are they trying to believe that they're a three-point shooting team? I would like to say they're a casual three-point shooting team. And in the second half, you had better offense where you'd get it and then kick it out and you'd have some open looks. And Thomas Allen or Nana would hit one. You have Glenn Watson that was fantastic. He's carrying these guys. Cope was monstrous. Cope was phenomenal. He had to be because James Palmer was hanging out around the three-point arc because he needs to be a better three-point shooter for the NBA. So, damn it, let's go down to Sprint Center and launch threes like we're Steph Curry. Why? Because that's the only way you're going to score. There are 17 players, apparently, not just five, inside the paint preventing lane penetration from Missouri State. So Nebraska had to find different ways to score. This is like my hang-up. As good as this Nebraska basketball team is, and they are talented. And when one of their big dogs was down, guess what? Three other dudes did their job. Your bench was good. You had a 20-5 run as a knockout shot. But you also let Missouri State hang around a little bit. Hanging around. You have Watson, very efficient. Copeland, very efficient. Roby, efficient enough. But you took four free throws in the first half. Again, I know Missouri State packed the lane. But you shot 17 threes, for God's sake. And you hit six. You turned the ball over five times in the first 4 minutes. And you're way more talented than this squad. So it didn't matter. But that at this point right now, as you're finding yourself, you can't do that tonight. Tech is physical. Tech is trying to rebuild a little bit from an Elite Eight run. But they're going to beat the hell out of you. And they're going to play defense. And they're going to rebound. And they're going to guard you like you guard other people. So does Palmer quit, like, pressing and forcing? Does Palmer get – and I know the dude went for 29 and had a great second half, 7-12, against Seton Hall. But the parts of this team were really good last night, and there's going to be games this year they need to be really good.
They need to all click together, what we've been preaching, and tonight's one of those games for sure.
But against the Marylands of the world or the Indianas of the world or the Sparties of the world, Palmer can't be awful, and your bench and your starters got to rock. We'll see if they can put it together tonight against Texas Tech. We'll talk to Mitch Sherman next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Coming up a little more than an hour from now, Tanner Farmer, our conversation with the senior center for Nebraska football as they get ready for Iowa. Let's say hi to Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke. Mitch, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. 2 days early, but I'm already celebrating, so hope you have some good plans ahead and get to enjoy some time off.
That is actually going to happen, shockingly enough. I will. Nebraska, Iowa, what is on your mind about that matchup on Black Friday? Where's Iowa's biggest advantage?
Yeah, I think Iowa's got some advantages really all over the field. I mean, just a more mature and developed program, obviously, when you're in year 20 under Kirk Ferentz compared to 11 games in for Scott Frost. But I think there's some advantages for Nebraska, too, athletically. I think the Huskers have probably not the kind of edge that they have in some years over Iowa. This is a talented Iowa team. I know Iowa's 7-4, and that's been a disappointment for some. But the Hawkeyes have been on the wrong end of some luck. Certainly, the way that they lost the Wisconsin game and the Penn State game, and then the Purdue game. I mean, those could have gone either way with one play here or one play there. Northwestern was close too. So this is an Iowa team, I would say, that is better, a better football team than its 7-4 record. And of course, as always, they're strong on both lines of scrimmage. And then the thing about Iowa that probably separates it from just about every team in the country this year is it's two-headed monster at tight end. And that's Noah Fant, who people know well in Nebraska as Omaha South kid, and TJ Hawkinson, who has been just as productive, if not more so, than Fant this season.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and Magazine, at Mitch Sherman's, where you follow him on Twitter. Is Nebraska's defense going to have to put in a similar effort to last Saturday against Michigan State? And how big a bag of apples and oranges are we talking between the Spartan offense and the Hawkeye offense?
Well, there's not a lot of offenses, I would say, that you can look at and say, well, Iowa in comparison is dynamic and going to move you all over the field. But Michigan State was...
right? I mean, this is the question.
Yeah. Yeah, Michigan State, especially in those conditions with that quarterback, who's an Iowa kid, and will be good, but wasn't good on Saturday, Rocky Lombardi. Michigan State's offense was very challenged, let's just put it that way. And Iowa, in better weather conditions with Nate Stanley and those tight ends, a couple good receivers, they've got... they're not great at running back, but they've got some guys who can get it done, I think, better than what Michigan State's backups or as good as what the Michigan State guys who were in the game on Saturday were able to do. It's going to be a more difficult challenge for Nebraska this Friday than what Michigan State presented in that weather on the last Saturday in Lincoln. They're not going to hold them to 6 points, but I think the same can be said for what Nebraska will score. They're not going to be held to 3 field goals. I will stake my reputation on that.
No, I hear you. Let's flip it around to the Nebraska offense, though. Where can they exploit Iowa? And are you seeing the same thing I am? 45 in rain?
Yeah, rain, you know, I guess it's par for the course this year. You might as well end in some bad weather. The way the year began in bad weather, the home season the last 2 years ended in horrible weather. I mean, I've been around that program for 25 years, and that's just as a member of the media, you know, going back mm-hmm. to my days as a student, and then, you know, watch them play even through the 80s. Well, they've never had back-to-back games quite like what we saw these last 2 weeks with the cold and then the snow and the wind on Saturday. So you might as well end it in like a torrential downpour if that's what it's going to be. And I don't know that's what the forecast is, but I have seen rain in the forecast. I think you just have to assume at this point with the way Nebraska season has gone in the weather department, and it's going to be horrible. And prepare for the ball to be wet and everything just to be a mess out there on the field. And then if you don't have that, great. You know, and you can actually play offensive football, great. But I wouldn't expect it to be fantastic anyway November 23rd. So, yeah, that is the potential to impact things in a big way if it's raining and raining a lot. So we'll see. I mean, there aren't a lot of weak spots in that Iowa defense. So I don't look at anywhere, you know, the secondary, second level, really anywhere that Nebraska just, okay, you can exploit them here. They've been really solid against the run. They've been exposed at times against the pass, but not consistently. Nebraska's going to probably have to throw the ball. And I say that more just because of what Nebraska does well. They're going to have to be able to throw the ball in order to put up in the points that they're used to scoring against if they're going to do it against Iowa's.
So Noah and Coach Walters talked today about you want to win a title, you're going to have to go win in some bad weather games, and mm-hmm. absolutely agree in the Big Ten. That's just what it is. Now, Purdue's been able to throw the football around a little bit in some so-so weather and be in games, right? And I look at Nebraska's offense similar to Purdue's as far as just the explosive plays and the dynamic playmakers. But if you're Scott Frost, do you find a way to incorporate some more? And again, 11 games, you're on it. It's early. But knowing that you're going to have 2 or 3 games where it's going to be garbage outside trying to throw the football 40 times, can you find a way to win some physical football games on the ground?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great question. And I was in Lincoln today working on a postseason story that will come out after the Iowa game and talked to Greg Austin. And I asked him if what he's learned in looking back at this season about, or if he has any different conception about what it's going to take to play successful offensive football in the Big Ten. And he basically cut me off mid-question, knew where I was going, and said, yeah, we have to be able to run the ball better. Mm-hmm. So despite what Scott Frost has brought from Oregon and from UCF and all of these coaches with him and the footprints of this offense, the trademark of this offense being one that throws the ball around the yard, I think that this year, this season, this month has cemented home, if they didn't already know it, and they probably already knew it, it's cemented home the belief that they've got to be able to run the ball to win in the Big Ten, and especially to win in the Big Ten in championship-type situations, which generally come in November and often come in bad weather. So it's not that Nebraska doesn't want to run the ball right now. You see them out there in the last couple of weeks mm-hmm. against Michigan State and Illinois throwing it in bad weather. You know, they know they've got to be able to run it, but there's some things about the way this offense is structured right now, and they have a good running back for sure, two of them, but they generally will pass to set up the run, and in the future I think that's going to have to be flipped a little bit in certain games. So they'll want to be more versatile, they'll want to be able to run the ball. But, you know, you can't go change your offense and change your personnel overnight. So they're going to have to go on Friday with what got them there.
Mitch, real quick on Adrian Martinez. I don't think he played a bad game. I know the numbers didn't look great, but I thought he really did a good job of managing and being patient in the second half after a tough first half where he lost the ball a couple of times. What's a number he needs to hit, either completion-wise or total yards, for Nebraska to get out of Dodge with a win?
I think he needs – I mean, this is not what you asked. I think a number he needs to hit is one or less in turnovers.
Gotcha.
And
it is. You're good.
Yeah. That's – because that's the biggest – that was the biggest criticism that I think anyone would have had with what happened on Saturday in Lincoln, is that he got too loose with the ball when he was running. And that happens. I mean, there's times as a quarterback where, you know, you're not trained like a running back, but the way that he runs that offense, he's going to have to – learn to hold on to the ball better. I'm sure it'll be something that he focuses on this offseason. And, you know, he's fumbled it too much this year, and he fumbled it too much, especially in the first half on Saturday against Michigan State. So when they get out there this week, you know, this is not – Iowa's not going to be forgiving. They're not going to be as forgiving as Michigan State. So go out there and limit the turnovers, whether it's holding on to that ball or making sure you make the right decisions when you in the conservative decisions, I would say, when your receivers are covered in the passing game. Don't turn it over more than once, and Nebraska has a better chance to win.
Mitch Sherman is with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, got about 2 minutes here. How will Les Miles in Kansas work out? What's a reaction you have to the hire? Kansas got out early. There's going to be some other jobs open, and Les Miles is their guy.
Yeah, it's going to work out great for the off season when they're out talking to kids and trying to get recruits and trying to get attention. And you know, I've been asked about it a ton this week, and that's a win for Kansas. Not that I've been asked about it, but that it's representative that people are talking mm-hmm. about it. People aren't generally talking about KU football. They're talking about KU football right now because Les Miles is there, and it's fun and interesting and compelling. But you know, that's not going to take him very far. He's got to hire an offensive coordinator who's innovative and can match wits with guys in the Big 12, which is extremely difficult to do when you're going up against schools like Oklahoma and Texas that have the resources that they do, and other schools in the state of Texas that have the weather and the recruiting home base that they do. So, and you've got scholarship issues at Kansas. You've got to be able to find a way to concoct a defense that can stop those teams. It's a massive challenge. So my money is not on him to conquer that. I don't think it was an all that inspiring hire when it comes down to what's actually going to happen on the football field. But you know, I challenge them to prove me wrong. And the first way that he can do that is by being a great CEO and hiring young minds or innovative minds at those two coordinator spots who are going to be able to match up well with the guy in the Big 12.
Mitch, I have 30 seconds. Does Clay Helton save his job with a win over Notre Dame?
Well, yeah, if they beat Notre Dame, I think then they can go to a bad bowl game, and he might have a chance to save it just because of the way they finished the season. But I don't think they're going to beat Notre Dame. I don't think they have much of a chance at all to beat Notre Dame. Those two teams have been headed in completely opposite directions. I've been impressed with Notre Dame, you know, for the last few weeks with the way they've closed on this season. You don't see that. I mean, they had an injury at quarterback, and have continued to kind of up their game week by week, went into what should have been a tough environment last week, not necessarily the stadium or anything, but just playing serious.
Did we lose him?
And they, you know, they conquered it like they have everything else this year. USC has not had that kind of a season. So I think Notre Dame wins that game easy, and they're looking for a coach, and USC is looking for a coach next week.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine. Mitch, awesome to get caught up and talk some football. Best to you and your family for a Thanksgiving celebration. Thanks for the time, sir.
Absolutely. Same to you. Thanks, Chris.
Uh-huh. Mitch Sherman, good stuff. Love talking football with Mr. Mitch of ESPN. More Husker Hoops thoughts. Get into some Iowa, Nebraska. You're welcome to join 466-3776.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
So I know Black Friday's coming up, Nebraska and Iowa. I don't like going out and watching my wife incinerate money. I think it's time for me to cave in and buy a new tablet. Right?
What's wrong with the one you got?
It's 9 years old and it sucks.
Well, that's how those things go. They're designed not to last for a while, you know. They hit like a certain date and then they just start
like,
slowly crumbling.
Like any and all brands or just the crap I have?
Probably, well, I would assume all, but I know for a fact the crap you have.
Yeah, the crap I have decides to, it's been 3 years since you've spent money with us, so let's
exactly.
Take a dump on live radio for you. Okay. Sorry. Okay, Nebraska and Iowa, Nebraska, Texas Tech will tag team this, and a good night for sports. We'll get into some NFL as well, the Rams and Chiefs, and what a ball game, man. What a freaking game.
It lived up to the hype.
Back and forth. It did.
And then
it was awesome. It had everything. It had everything. Were you shaking? I mean, was that just not the biggest gift in America to take the overs? As I said, do the unders like an a-hole.
Yeah, luckily, I was like, I'm just staying awake. So I was like, because everyone is sick of the overs, I was like, you know.
That's when you go the other way,
yeah.
Right?
But so, no, I just stayed away.
You nailed the push unless you got the hook.
Yeah, so, no, we did have Rams, though. So I won some money with the Rams. But, yeah, that over, you just felt like an idiot if you went the other way. And luckily, I was not a part of that. So, but, no, you're right.
Luckily, I'm not an idiot, Schmidt.
No, but like you said, it was kind of just like it had everything. Who would have thought with all the turnovers and the defensive touchdowns? I mean, that was the most shocking part about
it. That was a circus.
Yeah.
That was a circus. Nobody can guard Tariq Hill. Todd Gurley was shut down, and it didn't matter because Goff was phenomenal. And you had Aaron Donald do his thing. It was just incredible, back and forth, and then the Rams would be ready for a knockout shot, and here comes Kansas City. And you have 21 points off of turnovers for the Rams. It's a shootout, 54-51. And that was the first time Goff did a fourth quarter come from behind win. He has not been behind anything beyond the 11-minute mark. Like, he'll start the fourth quarter, and they'll either lose and he won't bring them back. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the Saints game. Right. Or they just roll people. And listen, all those moves that the Rams made, and I know Sue only had one tackle, but it was a vicious Sue-esque tackle at the goal line where he tried to rip Mahomes' head off. Mm-hmm. But between Peters and what you're paying Donald and the attention Sue gets, I mean, Aaron Donald didn't have a great game against Seattle. I mean, I know he had a couple of sacks. But Sue had 9 tackles, a sack against Russell, and did his thing there. But Sue still, man, for being a 31-year-old guy that's missed one start his whole life due to suspension, by the way, they put him out on the edge. And he is so good and quick, and he takes two people up. And Aaron Donald's phenomenal himself. And you saw what he did. I mean, the difference in that game was one of his plays or the defensive end that scooped and scored off of his strip sack or just the screen pass. Aaron Donald is incredible. Patrick Mahomes has nothing to be ashamed of. I know he's getting blasted by some with the 5 turnovers, the 3 picks and the 2 fumbles. Listen, that's not him. That's how good the pressure got to be by the Rams situationally. And that's what it was. But Tariq Hill and Kelce and Hunt, I mean, they are awesome. And I know Mahomes is in a great situation, but the guy's a rookie. For him to do what he's doing as a rookie is insane. And he'd have been figured out by now. And he had bad turnovers last night, but he did not by any means have a bad game with the yardage and touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Goff just answered. Goff was clean. Cleaner. Than Mahomes, and that's what it was.
Yeah, and I wonder what the difference would be if this game stayed in Mexico, what the outcome would have been. Not even just because field conditions, just because home field advantage-wise. I don't know if you can really say the Coliseum is that big of an advantage for the Rams.
Los Angeles is not a home field advantage for any sports team, maybe except for the Lakers.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers have their own little cult deal, and it's all good. because they've been phenomenal for a long time. But you have teams moving in and out of L.A. Mm-hmm. aside from the Dodgers.
Right.
And you have for 40 years.
There were a good amount of Chiefs fans there, too.
Well,
and
sure.
Like front row seats, too.
Yep. So that was fantastic. We'll spend some more time on the NFL. Let's get into some more Nebraska football. And, you know, I'm trying to formulate how I think Nebraska gets this done. We kind of went there with the advantages discussion with Mitch Sherman. And I have a couple of thoughts. Danny, you jump in on this. But here's Coach Chenander today, cut six, on just what Saturday did for Nebraska and how it's just going to be one of those games. A lot of different Saturdays. There'll be different ways to win the football game for Nebraska, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's great for the defense. Builds confidence, obviously. You know, and it shows the guys that there's going to be games probably as we move forward in our tenure that we're going to win 50-0, and that's great. And there's going to be games where we have to win it 55-49, and that's great too because we won. And then there's going to be a game where we're going to have to win 9-6 or 2-0. And that's really good, too, and that's awesome for us, but it's a team game. There's going to be a game where a special teams touchdown wins it. They need to understand that every phase of the game is important. We need to play 100% no matter what the circumstance, whether the offense scores a touchdown, whether the offense throws a interception, whether we turn the ball over on special teams, whether we get a turnover on special teams. It all works together, and I think it's good for those guys to see that.
So the things that I'm confident with for Nebraska football, first and foremost, is their motivation's super high. That's not always been the case for this team the last few years. Motivation's real high. There's a lot of pride. We'll hear from Tanner Farmer in less than an hour. This team has been able to, once they kind of turned the corner, to find a way. They found ways to lose games. The little things a lot this year to the tune of 0-6. Well, they found ways to go 5-1 because they played really good football. They've played situational football and they have not been unable to be flexible. That's the best way to put it. And the defense had to show up and show out. They did. The offense had to just go track meet against Illinois. Can you get both playing together? Can you get a track meet offense and I'm going to stone you at the line and make some plays and get some turnovers defensively, and I'm going to hold you to 6 points, two field goals? Well, there's your formula for a win in Iowa City to stop a three-game losing streak. How Nebraska gets it done? How do they find a way? It's going to be some big plays by Stan as he goes out. Ziggy doing his thing, and the defense got to be +2 at least against Iowa, forcing turnovers.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hey, get this in your mind as you get ready for holiday season. Never before a sale like this, and I'm talking about once-in-a-lifetime deals with your friends at Sauter Heyman, the best, the most prestigious jeweler in the area. You can now save 60% on top-quality jewelry. Never before savings on anything like this at Sauter Heyman, their total inventory liquidation sale. Don't wait. Get that best selection today. And go see Rick and friends, SauterHeyman.com, at the South Point and Grand Island location only. And while you're there, get signed up to win a free $5,000 1-carat diamond pendant. Can I say diamond carat pendant again? Get there. Sales going on up to 60% with your friends at Sauter Heyman. Never before. Rick's putting the gauntlet down. Get there, see him, talk some football with him, and pick out something awesome for you or for her. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. We'll hear from Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord. Danny, have you been to Ord before?
No.
Okay.
I don't even know where that is.
kind of north central Nebraska. Okay. Ord is good.
How far?
Folks.
How far of a drive?
I've been through Ord. It's been a while. It's It's been a long time. I don't know. We should Google it. But we'll go to Ord sometime. You're like, no. No, Dwight, leave me alone. Nebraska, how do they get this thing done on Friday? Going to be turnovers. And it's going to be big plays. Can they get big plays? And I'm really concerned about the weather. And I know they just won in bad weather. I know they just did it. Can they do it again? You don't want to be that guy, but yeah, kind of prove it to me again. Do it a second time against a way better offense.
It's because there's so many different things at stake. Like, you're on the road. It's more of a rivalry game. And, you know, Barrett Pickering hitting those three field goals after the season he had is
kind of amazing. It's about a football team that's not as talented as you kicking your ass the last 3 years. Not just beating you. Not just, here's a field goal to win it. It's getting just thrashed.
Embarrassed.
It's getting embarrassed. Not only getting embarrassed, but like quitting. Getting just destroyed and quitting. That's what happened.
Like, would you agree that the loss to Iowa was way more embarrassing than the Ohio State loss last year?
Ohio State, they were frightened. Okay. And Ohio State did bad things to a lot of people, and they were a playoff team, or could have been. But Iowa just rolling in, and it's tied at half, and then they just open it up on you in the second half.
That was literally like waving the white flag with that game.
Yeah, it was. So can you reverse course with that? Line is up to 10. And that may tell you all you need to know about Spielman's availability and the weather forecast. We'll talk some Nebraska basketball. What is in store down at Sprint Center for Cope, for Roby, for Palmer? What do you get out of James Palmer tonight? And let us discuss Red Raider land. Andy Markowski's coming up. Tanner Farmer on the way. You can email chris@hailvarsity.com. Hour 2 on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We're sitting in, moving closer to Turkey Day. We'll hear from Andy Markowski in about 10 minutes, get his take on the Red Raiders and Nebraska tonight down at Sprint Center, 8:30 tip on ESPN2. Tanner Farmer, 35 minutes away, the senior center for Nebraska football. Got open phones here till Andy joins us. Can chime in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Some concerns against Iowa. I am not worried about motivation. I'm not worried about physicality from Nebraska football. That is two things that have been avoiding Nebraska the last game of the regular season for at least 3 years. Well, at least 2 years, okay? So you're going to go into Iowa City feeling good, feeling confident, ready to mess up the Hawkeyes. Now, can your defense hold up? Played their freaking mind off. Edited for radio. Last Saturday. Big time. So they're going to come in feeling good and playing all right. Real pain in the neck offense to deal with Iowa. Their screen game, their tight ends. Can you get pressure on the quarterback? Being the same things that you've been asking questions about all year. So last week we're talking about, defense gets a couple turnovers. That you've done your job. You got a couple of stops. You've done your job. Has your expectations for the defense changed after one game? And I think if you're real honest with yourself, you know that is as much as you want to smile, and you should, about beating Michigan State in a physical throwback, old-school football win, You know that old man Winter screwed both offenses royally. I mean, it was hard for both offenses. Had more of an effect on Nebraska's, honestly, because Nebraska's is dynamic and tough to deal with. But you had bad weather. You had a vicious defense. You had no J.D. Spielman. You may have no J.D. Spielman, and you may have vicious weather again. Is Nebraska going to be better prepared against a like or even better defense on Black Friday? Flip it around. You had Michigan State with the blindfold on, trying to use the force on offense a lot. They still hit Nebraska for a couple of plays, but Iowa's going to run the football. And then Iowa's going to get both the tight ends going. I think it's going to be tough for Nebraska on Friday. So for them to get things handled, for them to get things done, it's going to be Adrian Martinez taking care of the football. Adrian Martinez making some plays with his legs, using your advantage athletically at that spot. Ziggy's going to have to be tough. And it's going to be a Doman or a Fergie or an Antonio Reed or a Mo Berry that have a couple of splash plays, force some turnovers, maybe a rock the quarterback a couple times on some blitzes.
That's a necessity, absolutely. The one thing that concerns me is just preventing those QB keeps. Like Lombardi, anytime he kept it, first down.
Listen, Stanley's not going to run. He is...
If the hole is there and the coverage is good downfield, I mean, Nebraska's vulnerable.
He's your biggest, clumsiest 6'5 pro. He's Roethlisberger running. All right, time passes by. Sunset, suns rise with him scrambling around. He can move a little bit out of necessity because they do that damn bootleg. Short side to wide side. They'll do that stupid stretch play that Nebraska's not been able to stop for years. There you go. Ball game. As you're bleeding out of your eyes and nose because you've been pile-driven for four quarters. That at least will stop. Nebraska will punch back. But the line's up to 10, and it could be a little hairy for the Big Red on Friday. So some nice words exchanged between Ferentz and Frost and Coach Chenander's homecoming. Let's spend a little bit of that. That's one thing that I'm kind of annoyed about. And he's really annoyed because he was asked about it yesterday. And I get like the Omaha TV stations, not one, but a couple, asking about, oh, you're going back to Iowa City. Used to be a Hawkeye. I get the storyline. Wonderful. He's not in Iowa anymore. He hasn't played for Iowa since 2002. He is locked into Nebraska now.
It'll be good to go back to that stadium, and I got a lot of friends and family coming wearing red to the game, so that'll be good. But this is an important game for our team. Really important to finish strong, really important for defense to play well this game and get some momentum going into spring football and recruiting.
Yeah, boom. Finish outright. Last thought here. Here's where your problem's going to be before we get to Andy Markowski. I mean, this is where you can get beat up pretty badly on Friday if you're Nebraska's defense.
They can get in there and smash you, and they use Noah Fant, obviously, in a couple different ways, and then he can split out, and he's as good as a receiver, you know, in the Big Ten. He's very, very comparable to a lot of receivers in the Big Ten skill set wise. So I think it's not one of those deals where you can say you can always be in base when they got the tight ends in. You have to be in nickel, then you're going to get the run. So you have to have a really good plan of how you can defend both phases of the game when they get big or whether they get small.
See, and he's talking about the tight ends, and they're just going to screw you. And they can mess with what you want to do. Flipping it around, it's the same thing Nebraska can do with the quarterback run game. So we'll see what type of weather we get in Iowa City on Friday. Let's say hi to the Pride of Ord, standout with Nebraska basketball. Andy Markowski is with us. Andy, how are you, dude?
Doing well, Schmitty. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. And your assessment of last night, Are you focusing more on the finish by Nebraska the second half or the number of threes attempted in the first half?
Well, you know, I think every game plays out different, and certainly Missouri State did a great job of mixing and matching defenses. I thought they had a good game plan to try to slow Palmer down. So the amount of threes, you know, were somewhat dictated in, you know, by them playing a lot of zone. They took a lot of chances. They played soft, trying to take penetration away, giving them the best chance that I think their staff thought they had to win. And it, I think when you play teams early in the year that change defenses, I don't know how much Coach Miles and his staff have installed, but sometimes that can take you out of rhythm. You don't have as much installed now than what you're going to have in December and January and February when conference season comes. And plus, you don't have a lot of tape on Missouri State to know what they're going to do. So that doesn't bother me. But the fact that they took care of an opponent that they should beat, and Copeland's a five-star player, and he showed it. I mean, he was the best player on the court last night, and it's been a long time since Nebraska has had guys that just look differently than the mid-major teams that they're playing.
That's absolutely right. Cope took over, had a 7-0 personal run, was very efficient, finished up with 23 points, was great from three-point land, 2 for 3. So after watching Nebraska through four games, give me a quick mile marker check here. Andy Markowski with us. Is Nebraska exceeded your expectations, or have you been pleasantly surprised by anything?
No, nothing. Hey, I've expected them to win, up to this point. Certainly tonight is probably a better challenge against, a pretty tough-minded, well-coached Texas Tech team that, has had some tournament experience. They've lost a lot. So I anticipated Nebraska would beat Seton Hall, maybe not by the amount that they won, but I think that has more to do with Seton Hall maybe not being as good as what their name brand was. Some of the, Ukinton's play has maybe surprised me because I didn't have him as a great shooter, a little bit of watching them in practice a year ago. Certainly Borkhardt's improvement with Hyman's ability to maybe play and contribute a little bit have been a pleasant surprise. But, in terms of the core four, I think they've delivered on what is expected of them, and that's an NCAA tournament team with a chance to get to the Sweet 16.
What is going to be a good night for Roby? What does he need to do? Is last night the foul trouble he had against Seton Hall, he's a splash play guy, but I think he's better than just delivering that once in a while. I mean, what's going to be a normal outing and an acceptable outing for him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately Isaiah is a double-figure scorer, right around that 10-point mark, that 6-rebound mark, two or three assists, make sure you have a positive assist-to-turnover ratio, and then impact the floor defensively with a couple steals and a couple blocks. I mean, that's a great stat line. I think there's going to be games where you see, Palmer go off, and there's going to be games where you see Copeland like last night, and there's going to be games that Roby, maybe has a really good mismatch and gets into the 20s, but I think Nebraska's versatility with those four scores are going to, have different nights where different players carry them depending on defensive matchups and schemes. But, it would disappoint me if Roby's not in that 9.5 to 10-point a game scoring. I think he needs to be there. And, that's a few 16-point games mixed in with some 6- and 8-point games, which, some games he's going to be limited in shots if Roby, Copeland, and Watson are going to be the key focal point of the offense, and I think some games that'll happen.
Andy Markowski, a couple of minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio, standout Husker basketball player, the pride of Ord. Why do you think Glenn's been so good so early?
He's a senior. I mean, I think he's a senior that had a I thought he had a good year last year, but if you ask Glenn, I think Glenn felt he really struggled and didn't have the type of year that he wants to have. And when you put in a summer and a fall, going into your senior year, he values every game, every minute. I think your perspective changes, and certainly he's playing with much more confidence than he did a year ago. And, that's what you expect out of a senior point guard.
Okay. You mentioned Nana, how good and efficient he's been. How about Thomas Allen, man? He's thicker, he's bigger, he's defending, and that's not something he was doing a year ago. That's some commitment by him, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you would have read the scouting report on Thomas Allen a year ago, it was a talented shooter coming off the bench, and he's layered his game by not only adding a little bit off the dribble, but to your point, getting stronger where you start to recognize in order to play more, to be a starter, you've got to be able to defend, rebound, do the things on both ends. So you give him credit, give the coaching staff credit. Sometimes it's hard to get young kids to buy into doing a lot of those little things, because I'm certainly if you ask Thomas Allen, he probably wants to score more, but he knows his impact to this team is to probably be a solid defender and contribute by making a few open threes, and he's doing his role. And I think he'll be a big part, because as you guard Palmer, Copeland, Roby, and Watson, there's some points to be had at that other spot, and I think if you look at Nana and Thomas Allen, there's going to be nights that maybe we lean on them to get into double figures and help us win a close game.
Andy, about 90 seconds here. Give me the rundown on Tech. What do you know about Texas Tech? I know you touched on them a little bit ago. They lost to 10 from the Elite Eight, but they still got some ballers coming back.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about personnel. I do know, Chris Beard is from the Bobby Knight, tree of coaching that I still have, contacts with through my time with Dockett. So, he's has had tremendous success wherever he's gone. Last year was a great season for them. One of their key additions to their team was Chris Moody, which transferred from South Dakota, which I'm sure Coach Miles used his relationship with Craig Smith to make sure they understand strengths and weaknesses in his game. Certainly that'll be probably a big part of the game tonight, is can they control his dribble penetration. He watching the game last night, I saw the second half of the USC game, and he controlled the basketball and got people shots where they wanted to get shots. So Chris Beard, very tough-minded. They'll be very good half-court man-to-man defense. So Nebraska won't see the changing defenses that they saw against Missouri State yesterday. So they'll play against one style, which I think favors Nebraska, because I like our ability to drive and score. I don't think Texas Tech will have seen a team as versatile as what Nebraska is, and that included USC last night.
All right, so a 5-point, 10-point win. Andy, give me a prediction, bud.
I like Nebraska to win, a fairly medium-scoring game. I think it'll, be a 1-2-possession game, and Nebraska, I think, with their depth and veteran kids, will kind of pull and probably win a 6-to-8-point game with free throws. But I think this is a win when it comes into tournament time that you look back on, and a neutral court win against Texas Tech will resonate with the selection committee.
Absolutely good stuff from Andy Markowski, former Husker, the pride of Ord. Andy, thanks for making time, man. I know it's been a busy one for you today. We'll get caught up again.
All right. Thanks, Schmidt.
Take care. There he is, Andy Markowski. So he says, Danny, I saw you taking notes, 6-to-8-point win. I think the line's at 2.5. And Nebraska's veteran leadership makes it happen. We'll spend some more time on Nebraska football against Iowa. Do you respect Iowa? I know the rivalry take's been thrown out. And again, for someone to be a rival, you need to beat them. Nebraska has not beaten Iowa in 3 years. Let that sink in and piss you off. I know it's family time and it's holiday season, but it has been too long a drought if you're a Nebraska fan. We'll get into some Husker hoops. Can take your calls here, 466-3776. 20 minutes away from Tanner Farmer.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Give us a follow on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at Danny Burke 5-466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Has Nebraska win on Friday? Another defensive performance. Does the offense get back to being the offense? Or is it turnover time? And do you respect Iowa football begrudgingly, or do you scoff at the question and say never? Tanner Farmer's 15 minutes away. Get his take on Friday. Husker basketball. Nebraska's got to win this tonight. Andy Markowski was just with us, nailed it. This is a neutral court. Quality win. Every time I hear quality win, I think of Danny Nee and his post-game shows. Well, you know, it's a quality win. I can't impersonate Danny. But I know my pops liked having beers with him at Barry's. That was sweet. Go play. Here's $5. Go play shuffleboard. I'm talking with Coach. Sure, Dad. Sure, he's enjoying that as he suckers us into a 8:15 tip-off down at Kemper, the 4-5 seed of the great old Big 8 92 tournament. I loved it. That was cool. Nebraska and down in Kansas City, Missouri State. Nebraska gets it handled. Knockout shot by Cope and company to finish strong. Listen, I think Nebraska is going to be a little bit more poised. I think they'll feel better about the venue they're at. I always worry about Nebraska shooting at neutral site spots. It's just they don't shoot that well at home. They're not going to shoot well on the road. I think Thomas Allen will be big tonight. I think Borkhart was killer last night. His role's fantastic, a glue guy, a hustler, a rebounder, a defender. Same with Amir. He was good defensively. I think in order for Nebraska to win tonight, James has got to be James Palmer again. He's got to be 7-12, second half Seton Hall money.
He's got to take it to the rim, get fouled. That's how he got those 29 points.
No, he did. And listen, man, he is as frustrated as anybody because the only thing that was open was, hey, James, go ahead and shoot it from there, bro. We'll give it to you. You just can't have him be in a extended funk. And he's had one half of good basketball. He's been off probably because he's pressing. He's back. He's got this spotlight on him. He's all Big Ten. He's phenomenal. He's one of the best players in the league. And when you can't just go out and dominate because they're throwing five guys at you, it's got to be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I want to switch gears, talk some NFL here for a second. Chiefs fans, I'm sorry that hurt last night like it did. You played, let's give the football away, a lot last night, and you lost by 3 as Goff hit the game winner with 2 minutes left. Your team's phenomenal. Your skill guys are insane. Your scouts need to be given a raise for the quarterback they drafted you. Got nothing for you on defense other than Houston's good off the edge. The big dude you got at nose guard's pretty good. Marcus Peters nail and coffined you with the interception to close it out. Let me ask you this, though. Is last night's performance offensively, if you're a casual football fan, like, you'll go out and have a beer and eat some wings and watch some football, but maybe you don't root for anybody. Did last night kind of bring you closer to getting all in with the NFL? And I ask that because offense puts butts in the seats. It's kind of a freak show. You don't believe what you're seeing. People love offense. Greg Maddux, chicks dig the long ball. I get it. But last night was just fun football. And you got old school NFL guys scoffing at it. You have old school NFL guys going, I hope it doesn't turn into this. And yeah, maybe last night was a bit extreme, 54-51. But brother, give me the Saints. Give me Aaron Rodgers. Give me Cam Newton. Give me big plays. The stat that I saw on Twitter that was the best and worst thing ever is that more touchdowns were scored by both teams last night than the Buffalo Bills have all season long.
I think they were tied with 13 with the Bills.
I think Buffalo's at 12.
I thought it was tied.
Is it tied?
I think so.
Well.
Either way.
Damn it, Peters. One more touchdown. So, listen. You have an extreme offensive performance last night. It's not going to be every week. You've seen New Orleans. You've seen more points. Tampa's put up a lot of points from time to time this year. I want more offense. I don't want more offense at the expense of, if you look at the quarterback cross-eyed, here's a flag. And it is becoming wussified with the amount of violence they're taking out of the game. And I know it's for safety, and I get that. but guys are playing safer, or they're trying to. But if you're going to light somebody up on a block or on a quarterback hit or on a defenseless receiver, that's always kind of been part of the game to me. And there's about 70 guys on defense around the league that want that defenseless hit on Tyreek Hill because you can't stop him. That's your only recourse, is to just smoke him if you can get a hold of him ever. So I want more games like last night, maybe dialing back the turnover side of it, because it got into a freak show. I mean, it had everything. You had missed extra points. You had 28 points off of turnovers, 21 for the Rams, 7 for the Chiefs. And you had electric offense. You had a collection of offensive and defensive players last night, both teams, that were just flat-out great. But give me more 35-28s. Give me more New England, Kansas Cities, mm-hmm. where you're just airing it out. Brother, that's what made everything so much fun in the 80s and 90s, with when you had the Boomer Esiason Cincinnati teams, when you had the Walsh 49ers, with what they were doing on offense, with Craig and Rathman and Jerry Rice in Montana. Marino's Dolphins were putting 1,000 points up on people. Really the only defensive team that got a lot of love were your 85 Bears. That's because they were murdering people and quarterbacks.
And that's what I was going to say. I think as a casual fan, you obviously love to see all the offense, but as a fan of your own team, I will take the Bears having a great defense any day over having the Chiefs offense and giving up 50 points and just having a brutal defense.
See, and listen, you've got a really good defense with your Bears.
So fun to watch.
They are. And Khalil Mack's the difference. And Prince is having a great year. And the secondary is tremendous.
Eddie Jackson.
Right.
One of the best safeties in the league.
You're good. But you have an offense that's beyond competent. You got a couple of backs that are good. Trubisky's nice. They can throw the football around a little bit.
And the skill guys are showing out just under the offense with Nagy, who was with Andy Reid. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So you've got to feel all right about it, mm-hmm. as Danny, the Pride of Chicago, his Bears are pretty good. And give me something like that, and you're going to see more and more points because you're going to see more and more of the college game into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the reason there's resurgence because you have some really good quarterbacks that are in the league now. Mahomes, money. Goff, tremendous. Trubisky, beyond serviceable. I mean, he is mobile and athletic. Wentz, very good. I know he came from more of a pro style, but he's athletic enough. Okay?
Baker's going to be fun.
Baker's going to be a ton of fun. And at some point, you kind of panic and go, oh my God, where's the reload coming from for the NFL? Because really, you know, you have no more Peyton. Tom's 41. And his liver's 28, though, so that's okay. Phillip Rivers and Eli are both 116.
Breeze is, what, 39?
Yeah, but Breeze is fun.
Yeah.
That offense is great. Dak, you've kind of whiffed on. They're not as cool as we thought. Aaron Rodgers is 36.
Yeah, he'll still be gone for a while.
He will, because he got to watch his first 2 years.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question really quick, too, on those rookie QBs? Are you – well, I'm sure you're not sold on Rosen, but what are your thoughts on Sam Darnold? Are you anywhere near sold on him?
I haven't really got a chance to sit down, because I like talking to guys who play with him, and there's two or three Huskers that mm-hmm. play with him. I think Rosen's good, but I think...
Just on a terrible team. No line.
No line. And I think Rosen hopefully will check himself, because he may get murdered by his own offensive yeah. line. He's that big a jerk
mm-hmm.
or too smart for the room and knows it and... He's a smart kid you wanted to beat up. I think with Darnold, I think he has got a good enough head on his shoulders. He's always been a worker, and he had to work his way up at USC, and he won the job, and he's handled it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's a good dude that'll put the work in, and I think he's talented. So I think he'll be okay. I just don't really care, though, because it's the Jets.
Right. That's it. See, I just don't know. I'm definitely not sold on Rosen.
To be flat out honest with you, when it comes to attitude and bravado, I'd rather see Baker in New York and just let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the number one market. You've got Goff in L.A. with that defense. And, I mean, you got a lot of star power in L.A.
Yeah.
And you got Breeze in that offense. I mean, Cam's is 30 or is close to 30.
He's probably pretty close.
So they're kind of fun to watch. I got enough teams to get my interest come playoff time. Because you're going to have the Rams and the Saints. You're going to have your Bears with Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they got to send somebody from the NFC East, which sucks because that division's garbage.
It's going to be the Cowboys.
Probably, which is okay. I mean, you still got Zeke.
Right.
He could do something horribly wrong off the field, and you might have that storyline. But I like the Cowboys because I like how Randy Gregory's playing mm-hmm. and Malik Collins is doing, and yeah, Maher drilling threes for the win. So.
And hey, Big Ben's still fun to watch.
No, Pittsburgh's incredible. I mean, they're good. I'm anxious to see the Texans keep on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they're on a six-game winning streak?
Seven. They're 7-3.
Yeah,
Deshaun's awesome. He is fun to watch. Deshaun Watson's good. So there's a lot of good teams that I hope get in because the postseason could be a ton of fun, and you still have NFL defenses trying to adjust to more of an athletic quarterback versus a slow, slogging Ben Roethlisberger type.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the most exciting postseasons.
You got a revolution going on. And you've got talented guys that are athletes that can move around and make things fun. Last night was an example of that to an extreme. A tough guy. Up next, talking Iowa, it's Husker Tanner Farmer.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Senior offensive lineman, center Tanner Farmer is here. Tanner, it's a couple days removed from the Michigan State win, but we were on the field as you guys went into the locker room, could see the smiles, the hugs, the joy. Take me through your emotions and being able to check those and get ready for Iowa.
It was an indescribable experience. Just never really been that happy in my life. Really appreciating all the opportunities that I've had here. I'm truly am blessed to be able to have this experience at the school with this coaching staff and, you know, just walking out. I wanted to take it all in that one last time. And, moving forward, we're ready for Iowa now. As soon as that day was over, I got my mind set and I'm ready for, the last game of my career here at Nebraska. And, I can't wait for that game and I'm just ready to roll.
Tanner Farmer's with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. You've been very vocal this year, and you've been one of the leaders in that locker room. At what point, if you could expand, did that switch flip for you from a maturity standpoint in your journey, going from a guy that doesn't get a social life but puts the work in, the extra work in, and you've detailed that you've always been a hard worker, but just knowing that it needed to amp up for college and for big-time Big Ten play?
Just this last year with this new coaching staff, they saw the potential that I had, and they told me, that this is what we're going to need. We're going to need everybody to step up that can. And like I said before, not only set the example, but hold those responsible to the example. And so, having the backing of this coaching staff really put a lot of confidence in me. That way I could step up and become more vocal than I had before and be the leader that I needed to be.
What gave you that confidence?
Like I said, the coaches helped me a lot. I think I always had it in me, but these coaches really just helped reinforce it because they had all the confidence in us. Because they're confident in themselves, they know that they're going to put in all as much work as they can. They're going to do right by us by any way that they can. So seeing the confidence not only in them, but, having how they're confident in us, I think just makes it even better. And it's helping a lot of us grow as young men, to be better young men, to be more confident in ourselves.
Greg Austin, tell me about Coach and how
players want to be put in positions to succeed. He has done that with this offensive line. Where has he helped you the most? You're talented enough to play both spots, but you've really done well at center. How did he get you not only mentally prepared through the encouragement, but also physically with his insights to play in and make it a position switch?
Well, as far as, you know, on the offensive line, everybody has to know the plays. They have to know what the play calls are, who the point is. So whenever I was playing guard, I knew pretty much just as much as the center did, you know, Cole Conrad. Mm-hmm. And so that knowledge is, he makes sure everybody has the knowledge. That way everybody, if they need to play a position, they're ready to go. You know, physically, you know, he's always on us to be the best that we can be. He expects nothing less because he's going to give his best. So whenever we go out there, if our foot's just a little off on a step, he's drilling it into us to be perfect for it. So just his confidence in himself and us and knowing how good we can be has helped us both mentally and physically throughout the year.
A couple more minutes. Tanner Farmer, kind enough to be with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Talk to me about Iowa. I mean, it's Smash Mouth football game coming up.
Well, I'm excited for it. I love Smash Mouth. That's what I'm built for. So I can't wait for it. I always love the challenge. It was Smash Mouth this last week, and I thought I had a pretty good game, and I had a lot of fun out there, and I'm looking forward to it this week, too.
With Michigan State, what attributes do they have that maybe you've seen on film that Iowa may have? How are they similar? I know they're two different teams, but just from either a front or a style.
You know, they're solid guys. They got big, strong guys. Both of them do. And their defense is pretty dependable in what they're going to do. They're going to be in their spots. You know, they're both really good defenses, and we look forward to the challenge.
Tanner, what do you want to kind of be known for or as? It's a legacy question, forgive me, but I'm interested in it. How do you want to be remembered at Nebraska?
I want to be remembered as somebody that tried to not only improve themselves, but improve those around them. That I did as much as I could to help influence the young men on my team, the young men and women in the community, to try to be not only better athletes but better people, and, you know, just be the best person that they can be. That, you know, their biggest opponent isn't someone out there, but it's yourself. You're your biggest competitor. So just working on yourself, not comparing yourself to others, but just being the best that you can be, I hope that I can help influence people towards that direction.
Tanner, was that a kind of a natural transition for you to shrink down as far as play to play versus maybe looking ahead or thinking ahead or big picture? Is that something that you had early in your career? Were you able to kind of focus one play at a time, per se?
Yeah, I never really got too far ahead of myself. Like whenever I was wrestling, I think helped me with that whenever I was younger, is you can't look ahead to the next match because anything can happen in the match you're about to be in. No matter how much better you are than that guy, you can still get pinned. So I think, you know, whenever I was young, that taught me never to look too far ahead and just focus on where I'm at right now.
Last thought. Thanks for the time. Senior days, you're walking out, you hug your family. Tell me about your folks and the support they provided you and just them being there for you and you're in your career, wrestling, football, now one more game, one more rodeo.
Yeah, I wouldn't be where I'm at without my parents. I actually have a tattoo on my left arm, the one that has the big N. It's got mom on the bottom and dad at the top, and it's got a football and, you know, two wrestlers on it. And it's supposed to mean I couldn't have done anything without them. I wouldn't be here where I'm at right now without them, without all the support that they've given me, with the great influence they've given me to help me grow up to be a good young man. And I love them so much. I have a great family, and I couldn't ask for anything more. For me, it's been the perfect experience with my family.
Did you design the tattoo?
It was like a joint family design kind of thing. We all kind of pitched into it what we thought would go into it, and then my tattoo artist at the time really put it together and made it what it is.
Congrats on a great career. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
Tanner Farmer, Huskers center, and he has been an emotional a leader for the Big Red this year. He is fired up, ready for one more go against Iowa. Numbers are in for Monday Night Football. Chiefs Rams on ESPN, 16.7 million, the most watched Monday night game since Detroit, Dallas, and that was the day after Christmas of 2016. So through 12 games, Monday Night Football's up 21%. I'll say this from a viewership. They've had some pretty good matchups. They've had some good matchups on Monday night. Now we can get into Jason Witten and how many socks you want to shove in his mouth. Or Booger, maybe needing to go back to college football. I like Joe Tess. Joe Tess was on with us before the big fight with Crawford at the PBA. I love Tess, but he's trying too hard. It's hurting my ears. All right, we'll say goodbye to Danny as he gets ready for Turkey Day.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
One final time on a Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Podcast will be up shortly. Some of the best audio highlights from Mitch Sherman and Tanner Farmer and Andy Markowski out on ESPN Lincoln Twitter, Hail Varsity Twitter, and the in-demand. You can log on ESPNLincoln.com for the in-demand. If you want the full interview, good on you. And Danny will get that tweeted out as well. Reminder about Madonna Proactive. 56th and Pine Lake. You pay nothing till 2019 when you get signed up now and take the tour. Just find out what the best fitness facility looks like and feels like at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake, madonnaproactive.org, or give them a ring. 402-420-0000 is what you do. Give them a ring and schedule a tour. We have strength training equipment there. Cardio for sure, three pools, aqua track, indoor lap pool, basketball courts, 130 classes offered to you by Madonna Proactive. That's TRX, that's kickboxing, that's yoga, that's many, many things to get your sweat on, and I love it. It's good times, and pay nothing till 2019. You'll get to sit down with a registered dietitian, a wellness coach, and yes, how about a personal trainer? They'll have that for you. Danny Burke is off to Chicago. We're going to miss him, but he'll be back Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Burke, Pride of Chicago, lay it on me. What happens?
All right. Well, I'll give you the prediction for basketball first, then we'll go football. Tonight, I think Nebraska will win. And when they play typically a better team, it usually goes low scoring, and I feel like Roby shines a little bit more. So I think we need Roby and Palmer to have a good game to see Nebraska win, and I'm going to take in a little bit lower scoring, so I'm going to have Nebraska 68-63 tonight. On Friday, with the 10-point spread, we'll go 10. I think Nebraska covers. Unfortunately, I'm a little scared, as we've been saying, if JD's not there with the weather. I think Iowa might come out victorious, but I think Nebraska will cover. Give me Iowa 28-23. Over Nebraska. 28-21. Yeah, you know what? I'll do that. I'm going to go 28-20. I'm going
to stick
with
that.
Too
early to like call your shot.
Right. I usually wait. Like we do the night before, that's where you're usually feeling it. But 28-20, I'll go
not,
with
not
for
the
now.
Club, the prediction.
Right.
Exactly. Just making sure. I'm going to say Nebraska 70-62 tonight.
Okay.
Over Texas Tech. I think they'll shoot better. I think Palmer will be better.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some guys that are doing well in their roles. That is good stuff. Do I have to give you my Nebraska score? Can I tweet it to you
tomorrow
before that first Morgan is poured Friday Morgan? Friday morning, not Friday Morgan.
You heard you've been
I'm already
sipping
thinking,
some.
I'm already thinking ahead, my man.
I guess you can.
Don't worry, I'm not going to mock your pick here.
No. I'm just thinking, well, can I alter mine then if I have a change of
heart?
Yeah,
that's okay. Fine. Right now, as tape is rolling, Danny Burke says Iowa 28, Nebraska 20.
Yeah, okay, so then we'll get the tweet exchange going, and then, that'll be fine.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, best to you and your family.
Yeah, you
You're
as
awesome.
Well.
Appreciate
excited.
You much.
We'll both get to have our naps, so I'm pumped, man.
Do well. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy Blackout Wednesday when you get home.
You too.
With your crew in the Ferris Bueller suburbs. Give Danny a follow.
Coach McBride is meeting up with me. We're going to do it together.
Really?
Yeah, we talked about it, man.
That'll work. Charlie and you, my God, that'd be dangerous. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.